Hi Church, we are continuing on our series from the book of Hebrews, and this is the second message. And today I'm preaching from Hebrews chapter 1 verse 4 to chapter 2 verse 18. I'm just going to get us all to read together a short portion of chapter 2 towards the end, verses 9 to 11 and then verses 14 to 18. Would you please stand to read what is on the screen? But we do see Jesus, who was made lower than the angels for a little while, now crowned with glory and honor because he suffered death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. In bringing many sons and daughters to glory, it was fitting that God, for whom and through whom everything exists, should make the pioneer of their salvation perfect through what he suffered. Both the one who makes people holy and those who are made holy are of the same family. So Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters. Now verse 14. Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might break the power of him who holds the power of death, that is, the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. For surely it is not angels he helps, but Abraham's descendants. For this reason, he had to be made like them, fully human in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people. Because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. May the Lord bless the reading of His Word. Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, we come to You and we come to Your Word. And we pray that as we do so, we may humble our hearts before You in order that we might hear what You might be saying to us. Holy Spirit, speak to us, we pray, as we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, today's message is entitled, Jesus, Better Than the Angels. Now, in chapter 1, verses 1 to 3, in the first three verses of the book of Hebrews, it says that God had chosen to speak through the prophets in various ways and at different times. Through the prophets. And the author then introduces the idea that God chose to communicate. Now, in Jesus, not through him, but in him, and that Jesus is superior to the prophets, preeminent in history, divine in nature, and superior in position. There was a very quick comparison of Jesus as the one who brings the message as compared to the prophets. You know, if we come from backgrounds that are steeped in spiritism or supernaturalism, where there is a strong belief in the existence and the interference of spirits and supernatural beings in our lives, we could be thinking of Jesus as a powerful supernatural being to whom we make appeals to help us against these other spirits or supernatural beings. Now, depending on our backgrounds, we could have different candidates to compare or think of when we try to think about who Jesus might be. Could he be compared to a deity from the mythology of China or of one of India's gods and goddesses? Or these days, perhaps even an alien intergalactic traveler from an advanced interstellar civilization? Or even another dimension? Now, it's amazing how many candidate identities people can have for Jesus, can attribute to Jesus outside of the Bible. But the Jews in the first century had a good candidate, angels. At least this candidate identity has roots in Scripture. Now, angels, or angel, the very word itself means messenger. Angels are supernatural beings. They are not divine, but they're supernatural beings. And contrary to popular caricature, they are not cute, chubby babies sitting on clouds with a bow and an arrow or a harp. Neither are they women. Angels in the Bible are recorded as appearing as men with supernatural powers. Now consider the encounter that Abraham and Lot had with angels in Genesis 18, 19. Or the angel that Mary saw at Jesus' tomb in Luke chapter 24. Sometimes they appear in such a manner that people fainted at their sight, such as in Matthew 28. When the soldiers saw the angel that came to roll away the stone from Jesus' tomb, they fell down, it says, as dead. I say they pingsan. Sometimes they are portrayed as armed with swords. Sometimes with a mission to destroy, like in Egypt. Or like in 2 Chronicles chapter 32, where one single angel was there to annihilate the entire Assyrian army. They are portrayed in the Bible as very powerful supernatural beings. They are no wimps. Why might the Jewish Christian of the early church be tempted to think of Jesus as an angel? Well, the earliest Christians were all Jews. In fact, the Christians used to worship in the temple and the synagogues together with their Jewish community. They were just regarded as a strange sect who followed a particular rabbi as their Messiah and had this weird idea that their Messiah somehow lives. But as these Christians insisted that Jesus had resurrected in the flesh, the other Jews started to regard them as heretics. In those days, there were some privileges to being a Jew in the Roman Empire. So when the Jews started making lives difficult for these early Jewish Christians, these Christians stood not only to lose their friendships and community life with their fellow Jews, families, relatives, friends, but also their special benefits as Jews granted by Rome. Thus, they were under pressure to be a bit more acceptable to their Jewish communities. One way, possibly, in their minds, was to regard Jesus as an angel. So the real threat which Hebrews deals with is that of compromise, of watering down truths so that it is less offensive or more palatable to the community we live in. Now, we might not be tempted to think of Jesus as an angel, but we do face the pressure to compromise on these essential truths that offend others. And the book of Hebrews deals with several. The big idea for you this day is very simply this: pay attention to Jesus so that you do not drift. So, how does the author of Hebrews confront this temptation of Jewish Christians to equate Jesus, whom they acknowledge as Messiah, the Christ, as an angel? He begins by showing them from the scriptures, the Old Testament, that Jesus is higher than the angels. From verses 4 to 14. In verse 4, it says, "So he became as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs." So Jesus has firstly a superior name. Now this name suggests a different status, and not a name like Mike or John or Benny. Jesus' superior status comes from, first, a superior nature. In Hebrews 1, verse 5 and 6. Verse 5 basically says that Jesus is the Son of God. The Bible doesn't call any angel the Son of God. They might be collectively addressed as sons of God, but only Jesus, the Messiah, the Christ, is referred to as the Son of God. And in verse 6, it says that basically the Messiah is divine and the angels are to worship him. Now, no angel of God accepts worship. They acknowledge that only God is worthy of worship. The only angel who wanted worship was Lucifer, Satan, and that was his downfall and expulsion from heaven. Now, apart from his superior nature as divine, as God, Jesus' superior status also comes from a superior position. In verses 7 to 12, the angels are servants. In verse 7 it says, they are servants serving God. But in verse 8 and 9, the Messiah is king. The king who is promised to the one that will descend from David, whose kingdom will not end. And verse 10 to 12, it says that the Messiah, as the Son, is divine, as God, who is the one who created all things. So in these verses, the writer of the book of Hebrews is saying that the Messiah is the sovereign created king, while angels are created subjects. The Messiah, angels. Jesus, the Messiah, angels. Not only Jesus' superior status or name is from a superior nature and a superior position as creator king, it also derives from a superior accomplishment. In verse 13 and 14, which reads, "To which of these angels did God ever say, 'Sit at my right hand till I make your enemies a footstool for your feet'? Are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation?" Jesus the Christ is the Savior of mankind. He is the victor that dealt the decisive fatal blow to the enemy, marking the beginning of the end, while angels minister to those he saved. So the author of Hebrews is saying that Jesus is simply superior to the angels. To make him out to be an angel is to reduce him, to water him down, and essentially to disregard him as Messiah. Jesus, the Messiah, is divine, God, creator, king, and savior. Now, in acknowledging that Jesus is God and therefore superior to the angels, the other error is to fail to see him as lower than the angels. Because in chapter 2, verse 5 to 18, this is what the author says. He turns to the fact that Jesus was a man. Our Savior, the Messiah, the Christ, is a man. He is not an angel. He is above angels. Angels worship him. But it says there in verse 9, "But for a little while, for a little while he took on flesh and became lower than the angels." Now, does this not make Jesus somehow inferior? How does Jesus' humanity, lower than the angels, make him better than the angels? Firstly, the writer of the book Hebrews points out that as a man, Jesus suffered according to God's will in verses 9 to 13, which we read, "But we do see Jesus, who was made lower than the angels for a little while, now crowned with glory and honor, because he suffered death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone." It is entirely the will of God for Jesus to suffer death. And by God's grace, Jesus to suffer death and to taste death for everyone. That's what it says there in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9. Now, Jesus suffered death not for any wrong or sin he committed, as he is without sin, as sinless. That's what it states there in 1 Peter 2, verse 22, or 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21, or 1 John 3, verse 5. Jesus is sinless. He should not die. But he suffered death for everyone else. By God's grace, it says. By God's favor extended to sinful men and women, totally unmerited, Jesus died by the will of God for all. That Jesus died a shameful death is by divine will. That he should be falsely accused and bear shame and punishment undeserved is by divine will. Jesus was obedient to God to the point of death. That's what he says there in Philippians chapter 2, verse 8. In doing so, Jesus identified fully with humanity, us, sinners. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 11b says, "So Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters." So, by the will of God, the Father, Jesus obeyed to suffer even to the point of death, so that he might overcome death as a man. This is the second thing that the writer of the book of Hebrews says. As a man, Jesus overcame the power of death in verse 14 and 15, which reads, "Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might break the power of him who holds the power of death," that is the devil, "and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death." The point of Jesus' suffering and dying was God's plan to break Satan's hold over human lives through the fear of death. These two verses tell us that Jesus shared in our humanity so that he can break the power of death by his death. No other human being could accomplish this because the wages of sin is death. All of us who are sinners, every other human being other than Jesus Christ, deserves death. Everyone who sins earns death as a just payment. But Jesus, without any sin, died and did not stay dead. He broke the power of death. And this is what he did. Because Jesus died and conquered death by rising from the grave, we who are in Christ shall rise again, as it says there in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 20 to 22. Jesus freed us from the slavery held captive by the fear of death. So as a man, a sinful, sinless man, Jesus conquered death. And in so doing, he became for us our perfect high priest. As a man, Jesus became the perfect high priest, as it states there in Hebrews 2, verses 16 to 18. Now, Jesus humbled himself, as it says there in Philippians 2, verse 6 to 8, and became incarnate, which means that he took on flesh to become one of us and to suffer death for us, becoming like us in every way, except sin, which the author points out later in Hebrews chapter 4, to be fully human, in order to help humanity. Oh, not to help angels, to help humanity, that he might become our perfect high priest, one who is merciful and faithful, one who atones for the people. Why is Jesus the perfect high priest? Because he knows our frailty. He knows who we are. He knows the struggles that we face in this life. So we have Jesus, who is the Son of God, divine, who is above the angels. And this divine creator king took on flesh, made lower than the angels for a little while, who is exalted above the angels after he rose from the grave and ascended to heaven, and is now seated at the Father's right hand. So you could say that Jesus is higher than the angels and that he was lower than the angels for a little while. And all these to say, Jesus is better than the angels. Now, since Jesus is better than the angels, what does that mean to us? The author tells us, firstly, pay attention to God's message. That's what he says there in verses 1 to 4. Because Jesus is higher than the angels and had come to become man, and having died and then resurrected and now seated at the Father's right hand, now greater than the angels, better than the angels, he says, we must pay the most careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away. Now, he says, if you needed to pay attention to the message brought by a towering supernatural being of an angel, do you think you should pay less attention to the very Son of God who made the angels, who is above the angels, coming to earth, to us in human flesh? You know, Jesus is the ultimate messenger, the ultimate prophet of God, because he did not merely bring a message from God. He is God in the flesh. You know, in our context, we say, hey, forget the WhatsApp message, forget the Skype and Zoom video call, hey, forget the holographic projection. Jesus came in the flesh. He did not send merely a message. He was the message itself. Now, even if you do have an encounter with the angels, you know, with an angel, he is merely a messenger, right? And no messenger can supersede the message. Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. The message has been revealed. There are no additions to the message. In fact, Paul says, if anyone attempts to add anything to the message, let him be eternally condemned, even if it's an angel. Jesus is the message. And he is the one we must pay attention to. You know, the drift warned against here is a drift from a basic and fundamental commitment to the essential truths revealed in Christ Jesus. We are all sinners, destined for a perfectly just eternal condemnation. Truth. Jesus is the Son of God who had come in human flesh to live as a human and to choose obedience to God in everything, even death, so that he might taste death on our behalf. Truth. Jesus died on that cross as the only sinless human, paid the price for all humanity's sin. Truth. Jesus is the only way back to the Father. Truth. There is nothing we can do to add to what has already been done to secure our Father's forgiveness. Truth. In Christ, nothing can separate us from God's love. Truth. Now, these are just some of the truths that we must not drift from. You know, when we remain steadfast trusting these truths, the fear of death will not grip our lives. In Hebrews 2:15, it says that Jesus came to free those who all their lives were held in slavery by the fear of death, right? And as much as death is a sad part of human life now, and a separation from one's loved ones, as is now so evident in this pandemic, the fact that Christ Jesus rose from the grave is an inauguration of a new hope, of an everlasting life in God, with a new body on a new earth that will never die. No angel could accomplish this for humankind. Only Jesus could, and that's what he did. Therefore, death has lost its sting. That's what Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 15. Paul says, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain," in Philippians chapter 1. He has no fear of death. It's no wonder that Mother Teresa, when asked if she was afraid to die, replied, "How can I be afraid of death? I await it because it finally allows me to return home. I would go to meet Jesus, and in dying, I return to the one I loved." And further, in paying close attention to God's message, trust the perfect high priest. In chapter 2, verse 16 and 18, it reads, "For surely it is not angels he helps, but Abraham's descendants. For this reason, he had to be made like them, fully human in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people. Because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted." The one who represents us, those of us who are in Christ, the one who represents us before God is Jesus. Not only is he one who has walked in the steps of humanity, in the shoes of humankind, and therefore thus knows the journey of life in a broken world, he has also made the perfect sacrifice of himself on our behalf. He is our perfect high priest. No one, celebrity pastor, anointed priest, wonderful miracle worker, or glorious angel, none of these, no one of these can do this to be our perfect high priest. Only Jesus, the Son of God, the God-man, who died for us, rose again from the dead, and is now seated at the Father's right hand. He is our perfect high priest. So let me reiterate the big idea. Pay careful attention to Jesus so that you do not drift. Now today, if you're not a disciple of Christ today, or if you don't call yourself a Christian, the encouragement is for you to give thought to the claims of Jesus. And our invitation is for you to explore Jesus. Well, you can join an alpha. We've just started one. Or you can pop a question in the chat and ask to talk to someone about Jesus. Or you could just click on the request prayer. I, for one, would love to chat with you about who Jesus is and what he's done. Perhaps you have been considering Jesus' claims and you want to take the next step of trusting him. How could you do this? Simply by expressing it in prayer, aloud or quietly in your own words. Just a simple prayer, which could be something like this, which says, "Lord Jesus, I am sorry that I have sinned against God, lived in ignorance and disregard of God. Thank you for coming as a man and dying in my place for my sin, so that I might be forgiven. Thank you for saving me. Please come into my life and help me live as I should." Now, if you prayed a prayer like that just now or in very recent days, please let us know, as we want to help you in your journey as a disciple of Jesus. click on the raise hand button that is in the chat, and we will send you resources to help you. My fellow Christians, does Jesus hold a place of honor in our lives as Savior, Lord, King, and God? Because He cannot be anything else. He is not merely our exit visa from hell. He is not an usher into heaven. He is not merely the go-to when we need help. He is not your wealth assurance plan. He is not an amulet or a charm either to ward off evil spirits. Because if you do, our study of Hebrews will be very uncomfortable for you, because Jesus is so much more. He is someone simply by virtue of who He is and what He has done, demands nothing less than our complete and total allegiance. He is God. He is the Lord of all creation. He is the only Savior. Now, if you want to talk to someone and ask for prayer about your struggles and your walk with God, click on the request prayer and one of our leaders will attend to you and pray with you, okay? Please don't miss out on being ministered to and have the Holy Spirit minister to you in prayer through one of our leaders. Allow me to close in prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, how great is the grace that You have shown to us that Your Son should come and lay down His life for us so that we might be reconciled to You. And so, Father, today, help us to not in any way diminish Jesus, but to hold Him up as we need to, as God, as Lord, as Master, as King. Jesus, we worship You. Help us to live in a manner worthy of You. Thank You, Lord, for all that You have done for us, saving us and delivering us from the fear of death. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of our Heavenly Father, and the fellowship and friendship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, both now and forever. Amen. Well, friends, if you have any needs in prayer, do click on the request prayer button and someone will pray with you. Okay, don't miss out on this opportunity. If not, have a great week ahead of you. Stay home, stay safe, stay healthy.